Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. As promised, Sandy and I are spending these 2 hours talking about the accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. And these accomplishments that hailed by the White House. And so it's really important that if you think that this is propaganda, you know, you can go to the White House. And Sandy, all you have to do for the most part is Google accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in his first 4 years.
Well, you can find other data sources. I mean, the White House obviously is going to tout itself in its own ways, but you can look at news media that and have tried to compile this as well. And most of them try to be more even-handed and talk about the ups and downs associated with it. We were talking about the pandemic process, and I think we all should try to take ourselves back in time to remember what it was like, during the Trump years, during the last Trump years. The last Trump year was a huge deficit, and much of that deficit was prompted by the response of the Trump administration, which was to immediately implement huge deficit expenditures to try and support the economy associated, because of the pandemic. So we had the PPP plan that went into place, which was this loan plan to that was forgiven if people rehired workers. And it was fraught with corruption, but it was the kind of thing that the government needed to do. And it's the kind of thing that the Biden administration continued. During the Trump years, we had a great deal of chaos with respect to the pandemic. Politicizing the mask and all kinds of personalization issues ongoing without necessarily any process. There was absolutely no recommendations given to the states. The states were told to do it on their own. And the federal government under Biden became much more organized in its response. You know, was its response perfect? Undoubtedly not. But the response was organized, and we got through it. And we got through it without a recession. And we came out of the pandemic, and we should all understand that the pandemic was a time of shortage because there was a great deal of problems associated with manufacturing things during that time period. China shut down. China was the source of many parts. So coming out of that pandemic was almost certain to be an inflationary time. You had shortage and pent-up demand, and when the shortages became less acute, the prices got bid up on the stuff. And we should also note that the inflation didn't really take off in the world, even with the pandemic easing, until the Ukraine war and the generalized effect of the Ukraine war, which had an effect on commodity pricing of food, but primarily on oil. And the oil price flew up after the Ukraine war, and that created a worldwide inflation. So the United States level of inflation was never more acute than the worldwide level of inflation, and in fact it was less severe, and the level of inflation in the United States receded more rapidly than it has receded in the rest of the world.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call, as always. You say what?
Good morning. What a beautiful Friday. Way to end a good week here. But hey, thanks for the show, and thanks for taking my call. The response that you got, the text response that you shared with us right before the top of the hour, as I recall, about
propaganda,
basically your attempt in being characterized by somebody as propaganda, that speaks volumes just out of itself. So here, we the peeps, a group of us, with you being the lead and your show being the lead, want to talk about truth and try to provide clarity and shed light on something that is needed like no other time in my lifetime here in America. And that's the kind of response you get, is you're being talked down to. You're being discarded as being, and being classified as a part of the problem instead of part of the solution. But having said that, the difference between the two candidates for president couldn't be more stark. The accomplishments of Biden have included other things that haven't been talked about, at least that I haven't heard yet, including the solidarity of NATO.
Yeah, we've got that on the list. Go ahead.
And standing up to Putin.
That's on the list as well.
But for me, there's been huge investment in battery plants, domestic battery plants, that being my wheelhouse. I think there's seven different regional battery plants that are in construction or about ready to open up. Considering how far we have been behind technology and then how little credence we had really given the electric vehicle solutions, it's pretty remarkable to put, I don't know how many billions, I think I heard it's $25 billion in investment in battery technology.
Well, the CHIPS Act, the CHIPS Act, which also was for the chip plants. I mean, the fact is that we have let the competitive marketplace shift the competitive competence with respect to electronics to Taiwan and China away from the American shores, so that South Korea, Taiwan, and China seem to sort of control the technological world you're describing. And, Biden has responded to that.
Well, we have, and we've done it, I think, above the table. We've done this in front of the people. This has been very transparent. It's been talked about. And yet, we have so many of people on one side of the aisle that just keep on slamming the door in the face of truth. And that's, I don't know how else to say it, but that's what it looks like to me. Let me just finish the call with this one point. The Biden family has been accused of all kinds of things. First, it was Pokey Joe and Sleepy Joe, then it's Crime Family Joe. Well, I don't know any crime family where the leaders, and in this case, Mrs. Biden, still works full-time and has a full-time job and is still serving the community, if you will. I don't know of that. So just to be able to withstand the Hunter Biden attacks over and over and going on and on, yet the personal attacks when, darn it, we have a lot of work to do. We need government that works for all people. It just seems like, the slope that this man has tried to climb has been impeded time and time and time again by the other party. So anyway, thanks for letting me share my opinion.
Hey Mike, it's always great having you on. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Hey, good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
First of all, happy anniversary to you and your lovely wife. That's a wonderful thing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And, I guess, a lot of times it's hard to say where we've come from, where we've been. And in all honesty, I believe that Joe Biden and the people that he chose to work around him saved what could have been total loss of our democracy. When we had characters from different states putting in false electors, scheming to keep Trump in the White House, Biden didn't have to run. He didn't run at first when he could have, but he saw what the devil was happening. All of us that are paying attention saw what was happening. We saw a man in the White House who didn't want to be disturbed before noon because he wanted to sleep and he watched his TV and how they were portraying him. We heard from people who worked with him, aides, people who were on his right-hand side, say that he is not able to do the job. He did not listen to briefings. He wanted things shortened because he didn't understand. He didn't want to learn. He focused on parades for himself. he focused on how wonderful he was. And the thing that scared me the most is I watch live, and when I saw Reince Priebus, the heads of the different departments, sitting, because remember, Trump used to have everything on camera, what he did, and they were around a long table. And they were discussing, they were going to have a meeting, and of course it was being covered for Trump's sake. And the first thing they did is they went around the table praising Trump. Oh, President Trump, you're the best man we ever had, and oh, you did such a good job. And he was just starting in office, and I was mortified. And then the audacity to want military, and the audacity of watching him live in other countries pushing people out of the way so he could run to the front to get his picture taken. And the people in other countries with all of their protests of what they saw in America saying, don't let this man in our country. Come on, folks. This is so frightening. And the Supreme Court justices, I watched those hearings. He put in those justices, and they're more worried about what's going to happen in the future than what happened to us, the people. We were the victims. We were the ones that were lied to. We were the ones that had our Capitol attacked and then said, oh, there were just tourists going through. I watched live on three different stations, on three different televisions, to watch this attack on America. So don't anybody say you said propaganda, because that is the most outrageous thing I've ever had. And so anyway, guys, that's my $50 worth of speech today. You guys have a great day.
You definitely had your coffee this morning.
Gene, thank you very much for those words of encouragement, as always. You know, Sandy, it is an 844-967-2789. I do know, and we do know, that there are people on the other side of this who are listening, and you certainly have a right to call in. I wanted to talk about the health care situation, and more people have health insurance than ever before, Sandy, and we're going to get into this.
Well, health insurance as well, and it is, even though it's very expensive, there are subsidies, federal subsidies, making it cheaper than it otherwise would be. But also what's being done with respect to the cost of drugs, which is something that has had a significant impact.
So, Sandy, the other part of this is, you know, had he not taken these things on, where would we be? Yeah. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. All the things that Joe Biden, President Biden, and Vice President Kamala Harris have accomplished.
Something happening here, what it is. Ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Being drawn, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we are going through a litany of the accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris in the face of things that people have said that aren't true. These are, in fact, some of the things that have been accomplished, and we really need to stop and think about it. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
What I say is continue on with what you're doing. don't let these people get too mad, because they're going say things to try to make you, you know, look like a, you know, off the rocker person. Just keep on telling the truth. Keep on saying and bringing up all this information, because you can't fight facts with propaganda or lies, which they have continued to do time and time again. I don't like the conspiracy theories that they brought up and all this material. I applaud both of you and continue doing a good job.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for that call, as always. So, Sandy, more people with health insurance than ever before. More people with health insurance than ever before. Historically low uninsured rate at 8%. President Biden took action to lower the cost of health care for millions of Americans right now. 4 out of 5 people who sign up for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act can find health care coverage for $10 a month or less, and millions of Americans on Obamacare are saving an average of $800 a year. Since he took office, there has been a combined 50% increase in enrollment in states that use healthcare.gov, and the nation's uninsured rate is historically low at 8%. Over 16 million Americans signed up for quality, affordable health coverage, the highest number ever produced in an open enrollment period. And Sandy, you had a statistic that was baffling to me that you were talking about before the Affordable Care Act came into existence.
Yeah, we had 20% of Americans uninsured, uncovered. You know, the Affordable Care Act made sure that people with pre-existing conditions who otherwise before couldn't get insurance coverage were now required to get insurance coverage. I mean, the way the whole thing, the way Congress has confounded the process, has made health insurance more expensive than it ought to be. If we had the mandate that had been built into the Affordable Care Act, insurance would be cheaper today. But at least we have a lot of people who are covered with insurance such that bankruptcy is not going to be their destiny if they get very sick. But there's no question that health insurance remains expensive. And that has to do not with the incumbent in office, but rather with the need for much more fundamental attention to be paid for how we do our health care. But the Biden administration has done some very direct things that have had a direct effect on cost with respect to the cost of prescription drugs.
No question.
And certain drugs, insulin, the cap on cost of insulin, and the move towards negotiating price of all drugs, the move towards trying to get American drug prices more in line with world drug prices rather than being the highest prices in the world. I mean, there is attention being paid by this administration to taking steps that actually have an impact and to trying to address the problems that Tom, Dick, and Mary face with respect to health care.
Well, you know, Sandy, even inhalers, I had no idea the cost of what an inhaler.
Oh, I mean,
for people who have asthma, if you don't know, you don't realize how outlandish.
Well, EpiPens. Remember the the EpiPen was to deliver Benadryl. No, EpiPens were for Benadryl for people with anaphylactic kind of allergic reactions. I happen to have these things, and you know, an EpiPen went from being relatively inexpensive to suddenly going up into an astronomic cost. And, you know, there has been efforts to take care of making sure that those kind of things don't happen. But we still have the problem that that patented prescription drugs many times are way too expensive. And Biden administration is trying to take steps to create more negotiating room for the government to try and drive those prices down.
So let me ask you, Sandy, because we act as if there is no Congress and Senate. We act like a president can wave his magic wand and get these things accomplished. That's not how it works.
No, it's not how it works. And the fact is that when the more presidents have tried to use their magic wand, the more likely it is that the opposition will take them to court to question whether that kind of authority exists. Neil Gorsuch, the Supreme Court justice who is against the so-called administrative state, We have a Supreme Court that's probably going to, the conservative side is going to make it impossible for actions to be taken that aren't explicitly included in legislation. That's the trend. So that the ability for executive orders to fill in the blanks that laws have left open is going to be increasingly more limited. So the size of that magic wand is shrinking.
Well, you know, Sandy, it clearly is the fact that the American people, for the most part, don't understand the inner workings of government. And we have been led to believe that a president can do some things that they really can't do. They're being blamed for things that they shouldn't be blamed for. They're taking credit for things maybe they shouldn't be taking credit for. And so it's important that people, you know, kind of get the truth.
Well, I think what's interesting about the list of things we're listing with respect to Biden is a number of them have involved legislation. And quite frankly, it's been a long time since presidents have been able to enact programs that have included legislation because of the need to have bipartisan support, and bipartisanship in Washington has just about disappeared. But Biden has done some things to resurrect it. And, you know, you can look at this foreign aid bill that just passed.
Right.
Because one thing Biden has done, people can argue about foreign policy and what it ought to be, but Biden's foreign policy has been relatively clear cut, and he's done a job of essentially reviving NATO. President Trump sort of took NATO on and has took steps to minimize NATO, and Joe Biden has unified NATO and has gotten NATO to expend a great deal of money in support of Ukraine. So anyway, we can talk about this.
Yeah, yeah. All right, 844-967-2789. There's much more. The accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris on the Earl Ingram Show. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and as promised, we're talking about the accomplishments of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and we're going to do this one before we go to the phone lines. Sandy, strengthen alliances and partnerships to deliver for the American people. American ally, and this is for Mike from Kenosha. American alliances and partnerships are the strongest they've ever been at any point in recent history, a hallmark of President Biden's approach to the world to advance our interests and values. Following Russia's further invasion of Ukraine, President Biden moved quickly to strengthen NATO. Nobody can argue that. He provided reassurance and support to allies, particularly on the eastern flank, and he generated congressional support for the accession of two new states, Sweden and Finland, into the alliance. The G7 has become the premier platform to coordinating the international response to the biggest challenges we face, from energy security to swift economic costs we've imposed on Russia for its brutal war. In the Indo-Pacific, we have deepened our security and economic partnerships, and we brought together Atlantic and Pacific partners to shape the rules of the road and strengthen our edge in the competition with China in this decisive decade. Across the world, from Africa to the Western hemispheres to the Middle East, President Biden is building the strongest possible coalition of nations to solve shared challenges and position the United States to shape the future of the international order. Sandy, your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I happen to be one who disagrees a bit with some of the foreign policies that all of our presidents have followed internationally since 1990.
Right.
But Biden has done an effective job of carrying out the foreign policy that he represents. And that foreign policy is premised on international alliances, on coalitions that stand strongly against potential mutual enemies. You know, the fact is that there are those who call in and say that, for instance, Ukraine wouldn't have happened under Trump's watch. The only way it wouldn't have happened is because Donald Trump would have caused Ukraine not to resist in the process. You know, it's relatively easier to sustain peace if you aren't going to be tough, okay? But the callers all kind of confuse this. They talk about Donald Trump being much tougher than Biden. It wouldn't have happened under Trump because he's tougher. I think quite the contrary. It might not have happened under Trump because he's less tough, okay? And the question is, what do we want in our foreign policy? Most Americans, I think, are looking for a tough foreign policy. And in that regard, Joe Biden has clearly delivered by number one, causing NATO to step up, by causing NATO to become much more of a solid alliance, to expand NATO. We just had France yesterday announcing that they were going to substantially increase their defense expenditures. NATO is recognizing the risks they face and have decided that they need to bear more of the burden themselves and not rely so much on America. This is what Trump wanted. Biden is accomplishing it. So I think Biden's foreign policy has been a very effective one, given the kind of foreign policy that Joe Biden wants to pursue.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, Earl. First off, happy anniversary to you and your lovely bride.
Thank you.
Second, I'd like to say, because of civic media and because of the Earl Ingram Show, I have been giving platelets at the Red Cross for the past 2 months every single week.
Congratulations.
So I want to thank you guys for that. And I want to respond or want to say out again to all gay men out there, we can give blood now. So please go give blood and save someone's life. Third, I want to say that, you know, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that the power lies within us. And one thing that Joe Biden has brought to the country is he's brought calmness, I believe. He's brought non-chaos. He has talked about democracy, not about autocracy or one person that's going to save the day. He's talked about we, the people, having to save the day. And I think that's the biggest difference between him and the previous occupant of the White House, is that one is about we, the people, and one is all about him, and all about chaos, and all about drama and shock doctrine and shock, shock, shock all over the place, so they can actually take more rights away from us. And then the comparison I would make to this, for the people of Wisconsin, I really hope conservatives think about this. The difference between a Scott Walker versus a Tony Evers administration, one was chaos, one was divide and conquer, one was hating your neighbors, whereas at least now with Tony Evers, we can get back to just having a beer and talking about good things and having a spotted cow and enjoying each other's company. And honestly, that's the way that we the people actually become stronger, versus it just being about me, 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 me. Let's go to a Packer game together. Let's go to a Badger game together, and let's sit side by side and enjoy it. And I think we have a better shot of doing that with President Joe Biden and Tony Evers and Tammy Baldwin than we do with the other side. So thank you very much.
Tom, thank you. Thank you very much, as always, Tom. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Julie. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Good morning. I just now turned on because I had some things I had to do this morning. So I just want to tell you I'm going to listen to the podcast because I asked you guys to, you know, tell me more about Biden. So anyway, I was just going to tell you that. And then the reason I called also was that Tom said he gave blood. So I want to thank him for giving blood because somebody saved my life with their donation of blood. So I just want to tell him thank you.
Yeah, well, so Julie, I mean, we talked about many things, lowering costs of families' everyday expenses, more people working than at any point in American history, making more in America, reduce the economy and change the course of the pandemic, rebuilding the infrastructure, on and on and on. There's so many different things that President Biden and Kamala Harris have presided over the last 4 years. Since you just joined us on Tuesday, we will be talking about the accomplishments of then-President Donald Trump. But clearly, part of all of these things is, and Sandy has been doing what only Sandy can, and that's really explaining, as people seem to believe that individual presidents have a magic wand and they can make all these different things happen, that they're responsible for all the things that happen during their terms. They're really not. There's a Congress and a Senate that have more control than the President of the United States when it comes to those things. But yet it's easy to point the finger and talk about Joe Biden. And there's been so many conversations, and I think wasted energy, about, Hunter Biden. And you notice that people aren't talking much about Hunter Biden anymore as they did early on, because they realize, all of that talk about Joe Biden and blaming Joe Biden for his son and whatever his son did really was, didn't really matter a whole hill of beans with all the other things that are going on in this country that need to be fixed, Julie. All right. Okay, Julie, I think we lost you. But anyway, Sandy, that we continue to talk about the different things that Joe Biden has done. When you talked about the Ukraine situation and where it is, and even today.
Well, I think
the pushback with people now.
Well, I think the ability to get at the bipartisan bill through Congress with respect to aid. Our foreign policy has become more contentious. And actually, I'm for that. I'm for us having debate about our foreign policy, because ultimately it's our foreign policy that drives our defense expenditures. And we have to figure this out. We have to figure out where in the world the United States should stand, who we should stand up for, who we should expend our great money for. But based on the foreign policy of the Biden administration, he was able to push through Congress bipartisan. He did it in conjunction with Mike Johnson, but let's face it, this was done through a back channel negotiation that included the White House and the Biden administration, and they got it accomplished. So, they had an objective. It required bipartisan action. Bipartisan action occurred. Objective accomplished.
So, Sen, let me ask you, you've been around politics a long time, you and I. And the fact that what is, people are going to predicate their decision making on whether or not it should be President Biden or President Trump is based on things that aren't these serious issues that we've been talking about. These are the issues that long term are going to predict what the future of our nation is, what kind of country we're going to be. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the conduct, the actual facts of how people behave during their tenure in the White House, this is an unusual circumstance. Two ex-presidents will be running against one another, one an incumbent and one a prior incumbent. So their conduct in the White House is there to examine, as well as what they propose for the future. We have Joe Biden, who's proposed a budget, a future-looking budget, and showing his priorities with respect to child daycare and some of the things that are built into that budget. And I think we should expect to try and understand what it is that Donald Trump will try to accomplish in the future. He's announced intentions with respect to impositions of tariffs, with respect to house cleaning of people in the government itself. A number of these things are troublesome. Or at least troublesome to some, and maybe to others they aren't. But at least we ought to discuss what these policies are, and not just who these people are, who who walks in what fashion when they walk to the down the stairs, or all the things we're looking at in that regard. What we ought to be looking at is, what are they accomplishing and what do they want to accomplish?
Let's go to John from Boaz. Good morning to you, John. Your thoughts?
Hello, gentlemen. Very good topic. And because it's our tax money that we're sending over to kill people, hello, we are making war, not peace. You can do one or the other. Now, see, these war jobs, no, wait a minute, I don't want to get too excited. These war jobs, which is helping our economy, but you just mentioned the budget. Joe Biden's budget, he is going to put a lot of people to work making swords out of plowshares.
Well, you know, I don't disagree with you about our need to change our priorities, but I'm not sure either president is headed in that direction with respect to what they're talking about, but I think we ought to try and steer them in that direction. I think the Democratic Party is having its own contentions with internally with respect to what foreign policy ought to be, particularly as it relates to Israel. But I think that we ought to open the debate on foreign policy. The problem is that we shouldn't open it after we've made decisions on sort of a basis of already sending money. So we got pregnant with Ukraine and got Ukraine pregnant with respect to getting into the war with Russia and resisting. And so now we've got decisions to make. But anyway.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
I'll always love you, always love you. With this ring, I promise I'll always love you, always love you. They used to call me the wanderer, who never wanted to settle down, yeah. But I'll tell you, baby, I want to know more. Got to stay around, 'cause with this ring, I'll always love you, always love you. Oh, with this ring, I promise I'll always love you, always love you. Got nothing but this old heart of mine. Baby, please believe in me. Girl, you know, sweetheart, I'll always try to keep you satisfied, 'cause oh, with this ring,
welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So, Sandy, here's what message I hope we can send to people in the audience about the importance of voting and and who they vote for and all those different things. But this shouldn't be about personalities. It's too important to elect a person to become the president of the United States to predicate all of it on, I like this guy. I like the color of his hair. It's honeysuckle.
Or I think actually what's happening more is I don't like that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not sure many people who vote for Trump actually like Donald Trump, but he's persuaded them that anybody else is a danger to the democracy. Not that he's personally likable, but that he somehow is a savior against against all odds, you know, against the deep state, against the liberal elite, against, you know, this opaque kind of enemy out there that needs to be confronted.
Well, that's too, it's too important a historical time in the world for us to be bogged down by, as you stated, the way Joe Biden walks or the way he talks. That's the reason why I can't vote for the guy. Or his son's name is Hunter Biden. I mean, these things don't matter a hill of beans when we talk about the things. If you can extrapolate out, Sandy, let's say Biden gets another 4 years. If based on what he's been able to accomplish thus far, another 4 years, incrementally, we'll start seeing some of the changes that are necessary to make America a better place in the coming years. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I think we're talking not just about people examining facts and without coming to rest on who it is you and I will vote for.
Right.
I think that people ought to look at the Biden years in retrospect, the Biden budget that he proposed and what priorities that represents. And the nature, the character of the Biden years, and the nature of the discourse that's occurred during the Biden period, the nature of whether we've operated within chaos or moved towards an equilibrium of organization and process, that's the kind of stuff we ought to be measuring and deciding then where we're going to come to rest. And you know, so I think the process today has been to try to take the information from those who have compiled it and develop a list, and we didn't finish the list.
Right.
To develop a list of things that have been accomplished by Biden and the nature of the reasons why people might want to support Biden without talking about why it is that we shouldn't vote for Donald Trump.
And history will judge what the Biden years stood for. Let's go quickly to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Well, I got something for you and Sandy, and you're going to love it. I really need, I'm not teasing now, you're going to start laughing, a picture of your former Riviera, your Buick. That you told me. And I want you and Sandy photoshopped into it, dressed up, and it says sharp dressed men. I will pay you good money for that. You can use that as a promotion for what you do, Earl.
Hey, I want to ride in that Riviera.
Hey, yeah.
Well, maybe. And here's the deal. Earl will give you a ride if you donate this much to Earl's or Sandy, your favorite charity.
Here's the deal.
You get a ride in it.
What year was that Riviera?
1973.
And it was copper-colored?
Copper.
And did it have a leatherette top?
It had, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so anybody out there,
cream,
anybody who has any notion of where it is that we could find a copper-colored Riviera with a cream leatherette top.
And leather interior.
And cream-colored leather interior?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, and it had the Buick spokes.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Wheel spokes.
Wheel spokes. They were beautiful. Hey, Bill, thank you very much, as always. You know, Sandy, I if nothing else, if people can understand the value of the vote, and especially where we are this time in the country's history. And you know, Sandy, as there are protests happening at universities all over the country, they canceled graduation, for heaven's sakes, I think at USC or one of the major universities. There are things going on in this country right now.
Well, you know what? You know how I feel about this? I mean, I do want demonstrations to be done with the right temper and with the right language and what have you. But I'm pleased to see college students once again getting activated and getting actuated in public policy. You can agree or disagree with them, but, you know, we went through
that
generation.
Was us.
That was us.
Yes.
You know, I was at Columbia in 1968 when the famous, now they're talking about it again, what happened back then.
Kent State.
And you know, people, the young people were actively involved in worrying about the world, worrying about policy, and they're doing it again, and that's promising.
And we should never shut them down for that.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you as always, Sandy, and more than anything else, happy anniversary to my wife. Up next, Jane Madnier, Madnier on Air, and Greg Bach. Thank you, Calvin. See you guys on Monday. With this ring, I'll always love you.
Never thought so much love could fit in a little band of gold.